May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1078. Dear Lord, and shall thy spirit rest in such a wretched heart as mine, unworthy dwelling, glorious guest, favour astonishing, divine. Hymn 1078.
Thank you. Let's read together from the Holy Word of God. Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. Those not familiar, perhaps online, the centre of the Bible is Psalms, the next book is Proverbs. Thinking of the last line of the hymn we've just sung, my life, my treasure, my trust, and I hope we'll find in this chapter that those three things of the Lord Jesus Christ are here. And as we read it, may you think or search and meditate on where Christ is in this chapter. Proverbs 18, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. There's the life. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honour is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. There is the treasure. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbour cometh and searcheth him. The lot causeth contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favour of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is our trust. all in the Lord Jesus. May the Lord help us in prayer. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we come before thee and we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the hymn that we have sung together. And O Lord, be pleased to be with us this evening. We desire to worship thee, the true and living God. We desire to put the crown upon thy head, Lord, to praise thy name. And Lord, we trust there are those that have come to worship in the same manner as the woman of Canaan, who worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And O Lord, we do seek that thou hast sent forth help from the sanctuary and strength out of Zion. And Lord, thou hast laid help upon one that is mighty. Do show us him. May we see him through the lattice of thy word. Help one to speak well of him and to lift him up on the pole of the everlasting gospel. And do draw sinners unto thyself, Lord Jesus. And Lord, do be pleased to remember each that are in tribulation, our dear sister in bereavement, and Lord, what that means to others that have walked that path before here. We do pray for each one in that path. And Lord, how we are reminded day by day that we are but in a mud-walled cottage that one day shall fall. And Lord, plagues and deaths around us fly. And we do truly know that till he bids, we cannot die. But do make us a prepared people for a prepared place. And Lord, in preparation, may we prove day by day that thyself are the one thing needful, that thou art precious to us, that we must feed upon thee and live upon thee. And do grant that there might be some poor sinners gathered here, gathered tonight, desiring to hear of thee, to see no man but Jesus only. O Lord, do fulfill their heart's desire, answer prayer put up, and do grant, Lord, that we might have an hour with thee. O Lord, do draw our thoughts and affections from all the places whither they so often roam. Lord, thou hast said in thy word that we are to gird up the loins of our mind, and we thank thee that through that scripture we know thou knowest what we are like. Thou knowest how, though we would have our minds stayed upon thee, they so often are taken away, yea, even sometimes in thy house, something that is said, some word in a hymn brings back a memory. Our minds go after it, perhaps something undone, something needs to be attended to, and before long we miss half the reading or half the sermon. O Lord, do remember that we are but dust, and do be pleased to stay our minds upon thee. Lord, do grant that it might be said of us, of those of old, that they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and that there was a book of remembrance written of those that spake one to another and those that feared thy name. O Lord, do be pleased to grant us the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. O save us from the fear of man. And in these times in which we live, thou hast said there shall be wars and rumours of wars. See that ye be not troubled. And thou hast said, there fear not them which kill the body, and after that there is nothing that they can do, but fear him who hath power, after he hath killed, to cast both body and soul into hell. O Lord, do grant us that we might look above these things of earth, and truly know we have a treasure in heaven, and that thou hast given us treasures of grace here below, that thou hast been our help and thou wilt be our help. Thou hast redeemed us to God. Thou hast shed thy precious blood. Thou hast purchased us and thou hast made us thine. O Lord, do with us as seemeth good in thy sight. Make us willing and obedient servants, and do cause that we might be followers of thee and followers of thy dear people. Remember any exercised and burden tonight of such a step in a public and open way, and do lead them on to walk in that way that they are exercised in. For Lord, thou who dost begin the thought, begin the first realization that the blessings that have been tasted, those answers to prayer that have been given, they all point the way that they are to go. O Lord, thou hast said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And Lord, some of us here, we have proved that. And though we have felt so foolish and so lacking wisdom and understanding, thou hast been our guide. Thou hast given wisdom. Thou hast overruled providences. Thou hast stopped up our path and opened doors and shut doors. Thou hast been the one that has been our keeper. And, O Lord, we would, when we survey that scene behind us, be able to join with the psalmist, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We thank thee that we are able to gather again in thy house here. O Lord, do grant thy blessing upon this witness and cause of truth in Swavesey. Bless our dear brethren, the deacons, and be with each of the church. Do bless each gathered here this evening, and do bless the children. We thank thee for them here and the young people, and do work in their hearts while they are young, and bring them to love thy house and to love thy people and to love thee, Lord Jesus. Do raise up from them a generation that shall serve thee. And as we look back to former days, when those who are now in glory once stood where we stand, and they once held office where we hold office, O Lord, do thou raise up another generation that shall stand when we shall be where thou art. We trust that shall be so. O do grant that our witness here might be of the witness of those who look for a heavenly country. Grant us that evidence of faith common to all of thy dear people. They that embrace the promises, seen them afar off and embrace them. Those that confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And those that in so confessing declared plainly that they seek a city yet to come. And O Lord, do grant us that blessing, lest that most solemn word of the apostle come upon us, that we are of all men most miserable if in this life only we have hope in Christ. Lord, we do seek that hope which is beyond the grave, that hope, Lord, that dear friends, loved ones, brethren, those whom we have known, heard preach, conversed with here, have now entered into. O Lord, may we be followers of them. Lord, do help us. Help us to run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Lord, many of us, we feel that but by the grace of God we shall be like Lot's wife. We do lots of looking back. O Lord, save us, deliver us from so doing. O Lord, that way that we have walked, we shall walk no more again. But Lord, the way that is before us, Lord, if we are looking unto him who has gone before us, then Lord, thy track we shall see, and we shall follow that till thou we do see. O Lord, do grant us that help then, that those who may be filled with regrets, filled with trying to undo the past, trying to rewrite history, trying to have the benefit of hindsight and walk in a way to undo that. Lord, we do seek repentance, but Lord, we know that the dear lady at the well of Samaria, she couldn't undo her 5 broken marriages. And oh Lord, though Zacchaeus might try to restore fourfold, yet no doubt there's many things that he couldn't undo. The Apostle Paul, how many cries of thy people, how many he'd put to death, how many things that he'd done. Lord, it humbled him, but he couldn't undo it and go back. Oh Lord, do help us to press on. Oh Lord, that we might do as the Apostle said, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto that which is before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Help, Lord, poor sinners to press forward and not have that which is in the back pull them back. O Lord, do grant that we might be of those that flee unto thee and find thee all our soul needs and desires. Do forgive us our many sins. Grant us grace to confess them daily and hourly. Make us to hate sin as much as we would love thee. Thou hast said, ye that love the Lord, hate evil, and do take away the love of sinning. Lord, our whole nature does love sin. Take it away. Deliver us from the love of it. Do grant, Lord, where we have wandered from thee, bring us back. Where our hearts are grown hard, do soften them. Where we have left our first love, cause us to return to him. Lord, where we have walked in ways that have brought even reproach upon thy name, do cause, Lord, that we might walk in ways that glorify thy name. Show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of nature's darkness and into his marvellous light. O Lord, we think of the apostles' words that they heard, that he which once destroyed the church of God and wasted it now preached that faith that he once sought to destroy. Make us new creatures in Christ, to make there to be that evidence of a divine work, a powerful work, an effectual work, a work of God in our hearts. We pray for thankful hearts, for every mercy and every favour. Lord, when we look at our homes, we look at the building here and our gathering and peace. And Lord, as we have driven up and looked at the countryside and we think of the views that we have had of Ukraine and the cities and people's homes and their loved ones. And, O Lord, we pray for them. O Lord, have mercy upon them and do help them. Help those who have fled to this land, those that we know and have met with, living with their loved ones here. Be with them who have left everything behind. And, O Lord, we pray for the churches there. Help them who seek still to minister to those about them. Lord, if it could please thee, put a stop to war. Thou knowest, Lord, all what thou art doing. But Lord, we do beg of thee that thou hast limit, Lord, this war, and that it might not escalate to a world war. Lord, we do seek to fall into thy hands and beseech of thee, have mercy upon us. We know what we deserve as a nation. We know what we deserve personally. And Lord, why have they been chosen to suffer these things and we escape? Lord, it is no righteousness of ours. And Lord, we know that. But, O Lord, we do pray for our fellow mortals and those who are in such suffering at this time. And, O Lord, help us then as we look at all things that thou hast given us here. to have truly thankful hearts, from every murmur free. Lord, what a shame. Shame on us that we should be murmuring and complaining and finding faults with so many blessings in our hand. Oh Lord, save us from our old nature. Save us from that same spirit that even thy people had in the wilderness. When they saw thy wonders, they were brought through the Red Sea, they had the manna, yet still they murmured, Lord, we are no better. Forgive us our sins and grant us thy spirit and bless us, Lord, through thy word this evening. O Lord, comfort all that mourn. Be with those that seek thee. Bless those that long after thee and guide those that seek guidance and direction. O Lord, help dear brethren and those that meet for a funeral later this week, and that thou wouldst be with especially our dear brother Jabez Rutt. Thou knowest the many bereavements that he has had of late, one after another. Do uphold him and strengthen him and help him. And O Lord, we do seek now thy help as we turn to thy word. Bless us as we gather round it. Grant the help and aid of the Holy Spirit of God. For Lord, we know that it is thy Spirit that shall receive of thine and shall reveal it unto us. And that is what we want, with the power, the savour, the unction that only thy beloved Spirit can give and impart unto our hearts. We ask thee these things through thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 1090. Prisoners of hope, to Jesus turn. He's a stronghold ordained for you. Gird up your loins and cease to mourn, and to the Lamb your way pursue. Hymn 1090.
It is usual for a minister to give out his text first, but I'm not going to follow that path. I wonder how many of you, when you come to the Word of God, and your desire is that you long to see the Lord Jesus Christ there. Now, sometimes it is with us in the ministry, we might look for a text. But those are sacred times when in our own soul we are longing after Christ. And in our reading as we come to a chapter perhaps we didn't expect to find him in, and yet we find him scattered through it. You know, a thought coming up, you can't do this. You can't take a chapter and pick 3 verses out of that chapter. But there it is on my ticket. Now written on that ticket are the 3 points that I highlighted from our first hymn. They fitted. Those 3 verses, they're my text this evening. It is Christ as seen in those 3 ways. The way I had it was the Lord seen here first in verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. There is his name, which in the hymn is our life, which is the last verse of the hymn we've just sung, the tower, the refuge, the hiding place. The second verse I bring before you, and each one of these verses will be my points this evening, Lord helping me, is in verse 16, which is his gifts. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. My treasure was the hymn, wasn't it? The second point, his gifts, the treasures of the gifts of God. And then the last verse, specifically the last part of it, the whole verse, verse 24 reads, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His friendship was what was upon my spirit on this verse. In the hymn, it is my trust. So I want then to look at these 3 verses as we see the Lord here. But before I do really want to emphasize again that Christ is in all the scriptures. He's not just a minister saying, oh, that's a nice account, or that's a nice chapter. Let's try and turn it about and twist it and turn it and put Christ in it. No, Christ is there. He is there. And it is the Holy Spirit that shines and points out where he is. And it is the dew and unction and savour that seals it, that this truly is him. This is Christ. You know, I never forget the first time one of the secrets of that was opened up to me as I was reading the account of Jacob wrestling. There wrestled a man with him to the breaking of the day. And I was just reading through, and the Lord just stopped me. That man, that is Christ. That is before he came to this earth. And it's reinforced later on in that portion, thou hast wrestled with God and with man and hast prevailed. And it's when you see him there, and you never forget that, though it's 40 years ago or so, and is that expectancy like, dear Job, oh, that I knew where I might find him. And we know that we do find him in the Word of God. And it's lovely when we can approach the Word with that desire that we might find Christ. Remember the two on the way to Emmaus? The Lord took them. in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And there are those parables our Lord spoke, and he taught by parables. And throughout the Word of God, there's the types, there's the shadows. All of the Old Testament, it shows forth Christ. In our reading together, my dear one and I, we read through the TBS scheme, and we're reading through with the tabernacle and the buildings of it. And of course, with an engineer's mind, I can picture this kit being built up and then all joined together and made together. But how careful, how particular everything was, how precious it was. And you think, this sets forth Christ. But when we look at Christ and we see a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, we see one that they saw no comeliness in him at all. And you say, where is that beauty? Where is all that which is that echoed what was in the wilderness? Surely that showed much more beauty, as it were, when this poor man acquainted with sorrows. But you take what the tabernacle sets forth, and here is Christ, the one that died, the altar and the offering. Here is the lamp, the light. Here is the showbread, the bread. Here is the sweet savour. Here is the mercy seat. Here is the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. Here is the veil itself. Here is the tabernacle of worship. And immediately Christ is becoming most precious as you see him through those types and through the shadows. And so it is in these. We read through a chapter like this, and short, pithy sayings, and then suddenly you see this gem. And you think of those mining diamonds or mining gold, and soil, and then there's the gleam, and there's the beauty. And they recognise what is the preciousness. Not that some parts of the word are not precious and others, but some are more precious to us, aren't they, as we see them and we see Christ set forth in them. And so we want to be persuaded when we come to verses like this. The Holy Spirit, the inspirer of the Word of God, God hath put these verses in the Scriptures to reveal himself, to show himself to us through the lattice of the Word. Those truths that faith will hold on to. If there is any doubt upon the authority of God and God putting it there, then faith will not hold on to it. But when we are able to say, thou saidst, and these are the Scriptures that show forth Christ. They are they which testify of me. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. With this first verse then, in verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Our Lord's name is set forth first here. Now, the name of the Lord here is Jehovah, it's in capitals, but we know as the gospel is unfolded, it hath pleased the Father that in him, that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so it is in the Lord Jesus Christ that there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And the picture here is to be saved, or in the words of the hymn, my life, when the enemy is coming in, when they're fleeing for refuge and fleeing for a hiding place in that tower, there's their life that they have a place to run to and have a place of refuge. And it is in the name of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is set forth as having a name which is above every name. that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And it was through his work, being obedient even unto death, the death of the cross, that he should be highly exalted. And that name, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Or the apostle saying that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Years ago, when the Lord used to bless my soul in my home and I lived along my own, what I used to do often under that blessing was pick up my hymn book, or sometimes I knew it off by heart in the end, and sing that little hymn, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear." And you know, we'll prove every blessing comes to us through Jesus' precious blood. And when he visits the soul, he is precious. We are told that in the scriptures. Unto you which believe, he is precious. That is a beautiful token of a true believer. You are a true believer, Christ will be precious to you. If Christ is precious to you, you are a true believer. And it is the Spirit that makes him precious, draws a soul to him, and it's not by nature. And many of us, we prove this through our lives. Left to ourselves, he is not precious. The hymn writer says, "My heart will move at thy command." And in the Song of Solomon, we have the spouse sleepy, but when he puts his hand by the hole of the door, then her heart is moved and she goes after him. And at the end of the word of God, we have the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." The bride is the church of God. You get the church of God with the Spirit, immediately they want Christ. Come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We need a spiritual religion. We do not want one that is kept alive in a natural way. They that have no changes fear not God, but those that depend upon the movings and work of the Spirit of God, they will know what it is to have that help from on high, and that times when his name is most precious. Now the picture is here of the righteous, or God's children, God's people accounted righteous in Christ. They run unto that name. It is in times of danger that the tower is needed, times when the enemy was attacking the land. And in meditating upon this word, and I know a dear sister here and her bereavement, but plagues and deaths are surrounding us at the present time. And why death is spoken of as the last enemy, that is death. And how did death come into the world? Sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And immediately it highlights what is the great enemy, as it were, of the human race. Everyone must meet death. Everyone must go down into the grave. And just because, dear friends, we've been coming to and fro to the house of God and hearing the truths of God, just a hearing of it, just a knowing of it, that is not taking away the terror of the grave. We want a personal union with Christ. You know, those outside of Noah's Ark, however much they might have known of it, they were not saved unless they were in it. And let us not be in any doubts about the enemy that death is and the terror that death is. To depart this life as a sinner, to enter into death, a separation of soul and body, and that soul returns to God that gave it, and to stand before the judgment throne of God. without an advocate, without a hiding place, without a refuge, without a strong tower, that is terrors. The Lord tells us if when he comes a second time, his majesty and power shall be so great that men shall be calling upon the rocks and the hills to hide them from him that sitteth on the throne. May we not be in any doubt as to what a terrible thing death is. It puts an end to life. It takes away from us all that we've been used to. The air that we breathe, the food that we eat, the company that we keep, the place that we've known, the people that we've known, everything. There is no parallel, perhaps you might say, in our lives before. I know with my parents, when they emigrated in 1965 to Australia, they'd never been there, they'd never seen it, we'd never seen it as children. They were going to a place they'd never been before, they'd only heard a report of it. But they were still humans, and they still ate the same things, still spoke the same language, roughly anyway, and still on this earth. But how different it is to depart this life. And so when we have in Christ, as set forth in this text, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous runneth into it and is safe. When I have been hearing of deaths, of those taken from time eternity, has it risen into our heart? Hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life be past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. To have a hiding place, and that hiding place being that precious name of Jesus. How many troubles and trials have we had that he has been our refuge? He has been our hiding place. He's brought us to our knees and brought us to the closet, brought us to search our religion, search our hope. But there's been times that Christ has been most precious. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and it has this effect for God's dear children. They run into it, and this beautiful word, they're safe there. And safety is where he is found. Yeah. How much do we know of Christ? In the troubles and trials that we go through, personally or hear others go through, how precious has he been to us? One of the hymns speaks of it, that he's been more and more precious to them as they draw near their journey's end. Because that great enemy grows more near. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ went through it. And I often think of that beautiful time for the children of Israel going through the River Jordan. They were told that they had not walked this way heretofore. None of us have walked that way yet. But the ark had to go before them. There was a space between it and them so that everyone could see that ark. And so they could see the way that they should go. Now as they started following it, it must have been only a small speck to some, hardly seeing it at all. But in the end, when every single one of them were passing through Jordan, they passed right next to that ark because it stood in the midst of Jordan. So however distant it was earlier on, in the actual time when they were passing through Jordan, they were right next to it. And the meditation of that has often been very comforting, very sweet to me. We might feel we see Christ afar off. We might be like those in the camp bitten by serpents. And the brazen serpent, we can only just see a little glimmer. Some close up saw it clear. But those that looked, they lived. And this is that Christ. This is he for such a time. When the enemy comes in as a flood, when sin and all its consequences and death rises up, when the tempter will plague a soul, when waves of trouble or tribulation rise high, this dear man, he says, in me you shall have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So this is the first. His name, all my life. Because without that tower, without that hiding place, without the ark like Noah had it, there would be no life. There would be death only. But with Christ there is life in his name. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. But in Christ Jesus there is life. Those living waters the woman of the well of Samaria wanted, that life is in Christ. So I want to look then secondly at verse 16. His gifts. Or in the last verse of the hymn we sung, my treasure. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. And this can be, of course, understood in a natural way. I've used to look at a word like this and I thought, well, this is almost like a bribe. You know, if you've got gifts, you can get to high places. And then a brother said to me, in relation to those in the ministry, he says, a man's gifts make room for him. The Lord has one of his servants and he bestows upon him gifts. Then he gets asked to preach here and there, and this special service and that special service. And we know some of our brethren in the ministry, the Lord has blessed them with many gifts. And they're very, very busy in the ministry, and good reason why. They're gifts that God has given to them, and how he speaks through them and uses them has made room for them, made a place for them. But then you can go further than that and you can see the Lord Jesus Christ, the giver of those gifts. A man's gift maketh room for him. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The gifts of calling of God. They are all of God. By grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Paul, who says, what hast thou that thou hast not received? Everything has been given as a free gift from the hand of God. Every gift that he gives, it is grace, it is mercy, it is from his fullness, have all we received, and grace for grace. It is very evident for the people of God that they have nothing, Christ has everything. And those things that he has, he imparts to his people, and it makes room for him, it makes room for him. A needy people, a people who do not have strength or grace or help, have said to them, as the Lord said to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul, he then rejoices in weakness and in his infirmities, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Strong in Christ. I laboured more abundantly than them all, he says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And those things he ascribes as coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. A man's gift maketh room for him. By nature there is no room. There isn't. You know, the more we speak to people, the more that we actually bring the word of God, the more you realize that. Men by nature, they do not want Christ. They do not need him. They have his word and then reject it. I don't know whether you've had it here with your Bible boxes, but we've had several of our Bibles that have been ruined. We expected to have that. But then we've had probably about six Bibles that they've taken the Bible, and we have it wrapped in cellophane with three leaflets, a message of hope in a time of crisis and need, and then the Bible simply explained, and the gospel simply explained, and then a Bible reference. And after a few days, we suddenly find that in addition to the four Bibles that we've got there, we've suddenly got two back. And they put the Bible back in good condition, but as if saying, we don't want this. We read the leaflets, we had a look at the Bible, we don't want it. And I just feel it's just a solemn thing that people have no room for the Lord, no desire for him at all. And yet what a wonderful thing when there is a desire, when there is trouble and afflictions, and that soul is drawn to the Lord. The Lord was very clear. When many were rejecting his word, he said, marvel not at this. For except the Father draw, no man can come unto me. He explained it exactly why it was so. And may it be very clear, if there is a drawing, if there is room for Christ, if you have room for grace, a need for grace, if you have room for faith, you say, I feel I don't have faith. You know, in the Beatitudes, the blessing is on those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why do they do that? One, they feel they have not got any righteousness, that they are unholy in their thoughts and then their words and then their deeds and then their affections. They are so not what they would want to be. And so they hunger and thirst, they desire it. There is room for the Lord's gifts. There's room for what he has to give. You know, I've had it over the years where we've heard some friends that were in need, and we thought, we'll help them out. We'll offer to do this and we'll pay this for them. And you know, it's almost been thrown back at us as if we're too proud to receive that. You shouldn't offer that. We don't need that kind of charity and that kind of help. That's very different from one that really does and is so grateful for anything that is received. But all God's children, we are paupers. We have nothing. And we cannot give anything to the Lord. But he has everything to give to his people. And those gifts, they make room for him and his people. Because he's created an empty void the world cannot fill. And he's made them feel their true state and true condition before him. I say that to encouragement to any of you here that feel that emptiness and feel that need, and you see in Christ that he has gifts that he is pleased to give to poor sinners, that the Lord has made your heart like that, so that you are willing to receive from his hand. You come into the house of God. Lord, grant me a portion for my soul. Give me something of thy treasure, something of thy word. I hear thy people say they are given thy word. Give me thy word. They have grace to help in their trials. Give me thy grace to help in my trial. Give me that support and strength that they have had. Now there's many that have seen afar off. They've admired the grace, the blessings, the helps that the Lord's people have had. But the Lord has worked in their heart, and maybe so gradually that they haven't really realized that eventually they are in the same position of being blessed as what they saw another was blessed. It takes a little while for them to realize, actually, the Lord has blessed me. And what I saw in a person, say, 10 years ago, now I see the Lord has given me that too. And he's given me those same light, precious blessings. You might have read of Bitteridge. You might have heard of your father or a mother speaking of the blessings they've had. And then realize the Lord has visited you with the same things and favored you with them. You know, in John's epistles, it is that he writes to them that believe, so that they do believe, so that they know they believe. How many times God's children need to be told that they are God's children, need to be reminded that the blessings that they have came from God, not from their own heart nor the world, that they are special blessings, they are gifts of God. And we read the gifts of grace and of calling are without repentance. The Lord doesn't say, oh, I wish I'd never given gifts to that person. They're not worthy of them. I'll take them away. No. He knows the end from the beginning. He knew what the children of Israel were going to be like before they started murmuring, complaining and everything. He knows what you and I are like. And those gifts that he gives in his beloved Son. Why? What gift from eternity chosen in him from the foundation of the world? I lay down my life. I lay down my life for the sheep. What a gift God has given in his only begotten Son to his people. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. There is the gift. The gift for every one of his people. And it's a gift when they see him and realize that he was given for them. This do in remembrance of me. The ordinances of the Lord's house are to remember the gifts of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. His shed blood, his broken body for the church. A man's gift, Christ's gift, maketh room for him. And yes, even following and bringeth him before great men. Not many noble, not many mighty, but there are some. And it is a blessed thing to be amongst them that have room for him. No room in the inn, but there will be room in a poor sinner's heart made by God for those gifts of God. Well, lastly then, in verse 24, his friendship or my trust. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Abraham was said to be the friend of God. In Isaiah 41 and verse 8, but thou, Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. And James also in his epistle, in chapter 2 and verse 23, says of Abraham, or from verse 21, Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Our text speaks of a friend. It's on two sides. It's mutual, isn't it? If you have a friendship, it's on both sides, mutual. But sometimes we have friends, and some of us have friends, that when there's things that come in between, they're quite likely to jettison a friendship. One particular friend I know, probably been more than once, I said, well, you can sever your friendship if you like, but I'm not. You're still my friend. And they've got over their trouble and their difficulty, and we're still very good friends. And even that way, the Lord is like that. He bears with our ill manners. He bears with all that we say and all that we do. We're a poor friend, as it were, of him. But he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. One that will never let go of his people, is always there, and bears with their ill manners, bears with all that they are, and sticks close to them. Is a picture here as a brother, a blood brother. I know a dear sister had lost her brother recently, and we feel very much for you. But the Lord is that friend that you never lose. And I know really those that die in Christ, we've lost them here below, but they are with the Lord, and the Lord has them. But we think of how the Lord was a friend to Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and they were able to commit everything into his hand. They said, he whom thou lovest is sick. And they just left it with him as to how he dealt with it. And he dealt with it in a way they didn't expect. But the end outcome, and you see him weeping at the grave, and you see him a true friend. And the Lord is that for his people. We think of the marriage bond that's referred to in verse 22. But I've always felt this, one of the greatest blessings of a good marriage is that a husband and wife are best friends. You absolutely trust each other, enjoy each other, love each other, be with each other, friendly to one another. And that is such a blessing. And the Lord and his church, in one sense, we see the bridegroom and the bride, and we see the Lord as so greater than his church, his people. But when we read of a friend, it kind of comes on the same level. And we hear the Lord saying to Abraham when he's sending the angels and going down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot is there, he says, shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? Abraham was the friend of God. Abraham, my friend. And so the Lord spoke with him, and Abraham pleaded with him, that if there were but 10 righteous, that he'd spare the place. And we read that when the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the overthrow. But we have that beautiful picture of the familiarity, and not a wrong way, but Abraham able to communing, or the Lord drawing near to commune with his people. And those are blessed times when we can come before the Lord in prayer as our friend. and we can speak to him as our friend and pour out our hearts before him and seek that help and seek that he'd be with us in our time of need. What a blessed thing to be able to trust in a friend and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in times of our greatest need, one that does show himself friendly to his dear people. There is a friend. We don't have to imagine it. We don't have to search for it. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What a mercy to have the Lord sticking by his people. He will not let them go. He will not let them go till he has them with himself. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. They are in his hand, and he is their friend. Well, may the Lord bless these three verses here that show our Lord Jesus Christ in these three ways: his name, his gifts, his friendship, or my life, my treasure, and my trust. Amen.
God willing, next Lord's Day there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock, and then Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach, and on Monday evening Mr. Pocock. And Mr. Hadley has asked us to say that the special service at Stopfold has been postponed from this Wednesday to next Wednesday because of COVID. Let us close with hymn 556. 556. The Lord proclaims his name, and sinners hear his voice. His mercy ever stands the same, and we'll in him rejoice. Hymn 556.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.